Hello and welcome to episode 31 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. I'm your host, Todd Dudley, and I'm joined, as always, by the editor-in-chief of ruck.co.uk and my co-host, Steve Smith. Steve-o, back-to-back weeks.
I can't believe it, Matt.
How are you?
Twice in 2 weeks. It's groundbreaking. It's brilliant. It's got to be magic in the air. Must be the Six Nations upon us soon.
There's something going on, mate. There's something going on here. It is very unlike us, but hopefully it's a bit of a precedent for the year, you know? Hopefully this is what we were just discussing, New Year, New Us.
New Year, New Us. Got coffees, no beers.
Coffees, no beers, because it's even earlier this week than it was last week.
That doesn't mean we shouldn't congratulate ourselves on not getting a beer, Matt. We need to take everything we can get.
Maybe if we do three weeks in a row, maybe that warrants a beer, maybe.
A shot, maybe. Jaeger bomb. Get the day moving.
Jaeger bomb in the coffee. It's better than Red Bull.
Better than Red Bull.
But yeah, we're back, folks, and we're delighted to be back. And it's a good job we are, because a lot has happened in the week that has followed the...
yesterday.
Well, yeah, basically a lot has happened yesterday. So, I mean, there's no other place to start, really. Despite the Six Nations being in 18 days or whatever it is, we're not starting with the Six Nations. We are starting with mate, Eddie Jones. He's back already. He's now... Was he signed a 5-year deal for Australia? Head coach, Dave Rennie, see you later. Eddie Jones straight in.
I think do you get the feeling he might have been tapped up?
Well, there's already chat come out. But 14 months of conversations, apparently.
Well, I don't think the job description went out for anyone else to apply, did it? You know, Dave Rennie, you know what? The people were saying he's got the worst win percentage of any Australia boss. I thought he was doing all right in tough conditions, to be honest.
Well, I was going to say, he might have had the worst win percentage, but he's also probably had the worst... squad / setup / enthusiasm for the game, yeah, as well. Like, it's not
even Hooper just fucked off.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's he supposed to do? But yeah, mate, that is huge news. So, I mean, there's so much to talk about here.
Traitor.
Firstly,
can you remember that?
Yeah, fucking traitor, mate. That's gonna be awkward, isn't it? Yeah, that's gonna be awkward.
If you were Australia, would you not try and find that fan and just do something funny?
Yeah, you want to get him involved in some kind of media for sure. Yeah. Although, I feel like Jones would probably chin him if he sees him again. But
he's got a thing about fighting fans. Didn't he come?
Yeah, he fought some Welsh fans, didn't he?
I think it was Scottish.
Oh, Scottish, yeah. Yeah. So, I think the place to start for me is like the more boring legal stuff. How on earth has this been allowed to happen? Like, how is part of his severance or whatever it is not included some kind of... What's the posh terms? Is it gardening leave or something like that?
Yeah, you mean like everyone else would do in their job?
Yeah. How is that... How have they not put a clause in saying...
Yeah, because we're paying him technically up until the World Cup.
And they haven't said, oh, you can't coach anyone at the World Cup. Or you can't coach a tier one side. Or do you know what I mean? Like, how is there nothing in there?
Because there was lots of chat that he was going to go to a tier two. You know, yeah. There's Portugal, Georgia. And
America, I heard at one point.
Well, they didn't qualify, but you're right. I don't think America had the money is what you start to hear from some of the people at USA Rugby. They found, I think the reports came from the Sydney Morning Herald, quite funny.
I think that'd be a cool... Whoever gets that project, bearing in mind that obviously they're not in it this year, but they're hosting... when are they hosting? 31, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's Australia. Yeah, that's the thing. So Eddie Jones, right, has got sacked from England, full-time job at Australia, somehow. And in the time that... he's contracted for 5 years. And in that time, he's got a World Cup in France, he's got a Lions tour, and he's got a home World Cup in Australia. The man...
We can't get rid of
him. He's just a genius. He's an absolute genius.
Man,
I love it,
playing
mate.
For the sack, wasn't he?
Mate, I absolutely love it. I'm all for it. I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. And it's going to be even better if England meet Australia in that quarterfinal. I really hope that happens now. I think it'd be amazing.
It would, but I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, very bad.
But we'll be still paying his wages as he knocks us out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. What a joke. But from a rugby perspective, it's a huge... Obviously, he's an amazing coach anyway, but it's a huge advantage for Australia, given how much, like... Northern Hemisphere experience he's got now, and how much knowledge of the English game, the European game.
What we've definitely got here is a pantomime villain, though, haven't we? Oh. We were saying last week how we need them.
Mate, for me, he's a hero, mate. I think that is absolute gold. And if it is 14 months in the making, it's even better for me. I think it's genius. Like, it's so funny. But also, that story about the 14 months, it's like, oh, he was in Australia and went for dinner with someone that works for Australian Rugby who is also his friend. It's like,
I might have been talking about maybe going back after the World Cup, I think.
Yeah, I think
there's a little bit of a people playing liberties because he'd still be England coach if we hadn't sacked him.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And really, the only person that's got any... The only thing we can put any blame on is not Eddie Jones because he's unemployed and now got a job. It's the it's the RFU and probably Bill Sweeney. I just don't understand the oversight of thinking, oh yeah, no one will want to get Eddie Jones in as a head coach or a consultant coach. Like, let's make sure that he can't do that. We'll just ignore it. It'll be fine. So stupid.
Well,
so stupid.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
It's going to be good though. So
it's
in
be
terms
gold.
Of
yeah.
Interest in the game, they've done us a service.
They have very much so.
Incompetence.
I would imagine, without knowing the back end like you do, I'd imagine the traffic on the site yesterday was pretty decent, I would imagine.
Yeah, very good, very good, as you would hope. Lots going on. Lots moving on. If we move on to the England squad, you know, there's a lot of big omissions. So there wasn't really too many. I feel like most of the support, it's like everyone had opened their Christmas presents a bit early on some of the surprises. Like, you know, we all pretty much knew Tom Willis was going to be in. That would have been a big shock.
Yeah.
Hassel Collins, you know, he spent 2 years trying to sign him at Leicester, so it's not a huge shock.
No.
Maybe
and then,
it's
like,
more the players who are out.
I think it probably is. So the notable omissions, well, Billy Vunipola, Johnny May, Jack Noel. I don't think Johnny May, I actually love Johnny May, but I don't think he's necessarily that notable of an omission at the moment. His days are probably done with how much talent we've got in back three.
The thing is, he's getting outperformed by Fawley, I think.
It's nice
to see Fawley.
It's
back
great
line.
To see, yeah.
He's got a really funny middle name, doesn't he?
Ollie Thorley, does he?
Yeah, it's like Andromeda or something.
Andromeda?
I'm going to check it.
You've got to check that. You can't just drop that in there.
I can't just drop Ollie Thorley's got a...
Named after the Andromeda Galaxy.
Yeah, it's weird. You know when you're someone who writes articles every day, you write some strange things.
Yeah,
Oliver Andromeda Fawley.
That is excellent. That is excellent. Living up to the middle class private school image of rugby. Hi, Andromeda, darling.
He's also like a cousin of Maro Atoje somehow. I think
is he
uncle married Maro's aunt.
Hilarious. So
not blood, obviously.
Who else isn't in this?
Billy Vunipola, Jack Noel, Johnny May. We did a piece on the site, so I'll have a look at that. Val Rapava Ruskin.
So that's probably the one that's like... Vunipola's been good, but that is probably the one that's on form, given that there's not loads of like... He's basically like... He's like very near the top of the stats for like scrummaging, tackles... Turnovers, carries, like he's absolutely ripping up at the moment.
Yeah,
but he is. I mean, this isn't that old for a prop because Dan Cole's been brought back in, but he is 30. I always thought that he was like, you know, mid to late 20s.
Yeah,
but he is already 30, which means he's seasoned and he's like knows what he's doing. But
I don't know. Sometimes you a late older bolter might actually help. You know, but I know what you mean.
But if you compare him to like a Bevan Rod, he's 22.
Did Bevan make it in?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
So he's 22 and, like, very, very good. Probably not as, I don't know, probably not as, like, showpiecey as Rapava Ruskin, but...
There's two more on our list. Adam Radwan.
Radders, yeah.
And Ollie Lawrence.
Yeah, I think... No, Radders isn't a huge shock, unfortunately, again, because of how much...
It doesn't help that Carreras keeps playing
so
well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's become sort of, like, the second best winger in Newcastle, which is a shame. Ollie Lawrence, I just think that just completely depends on how they're going to play. Well, no, it doesn't really. Basically, if Tuilagi was fit, it was going to be Tuilagi. And if he wasn't,
I would pick Lawrence.
So would I, but and also, to be fair, there is the caveat worth mentioning that
he's already rocked the boat enough.
He was only allowed to make 5 changes, right? I'm pretty sure.
No, that was for the I think that's for the training, but for the Six Nations, he could make more.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's limited, or I don't know what the number is, but I think he could only make a certain amount of changes.
I think the Premiership teams were open to him being a bit more flexible with it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is a shame for Ollie Lawrence. I still think Ollie Lawrence might have his time. I just don't think it's right now. Whether it will be before the World Cup.
It's when Manu gets injured, so next
week. Yeah. But he's got Dan Kelly in as well.
Yeah, Dan Kelly's a bit of a different prospect, though, I would say, a little bit. Very good player.
I think Dan Kelly is in, for me, Dan Kelly is in as a 12 if they choose to play Smith or Farrell. Marcus Smith or Farrell, I should say, with Finn Smith being in. Whereas I think Manu is in as a 13 if they choose to play Farrell and Smith.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would say. If they choose to play one of Farrell or Smith, I think Tuilagi would still be the first choice, but Kelly is the backup for that, I think. So the people that are in, got some good ones. Dan Cole back in. What bloke. Can he get up to 100 caps? I think he's on like 94 or 95, something like that. That'd be good banter if he got to 100. Don Brandt back in. Ben Earl back in, which is massive. Big fan of that, because he's very good at rugby. No ribbons. That's another one, which I think is a little bit of a shame, because he went well.
He was really good.
Yeah, he was. That
I'm surprised to see Ezekwe back in so quick, to be honest.
I think I'd have gone for ribbons over Ezekwe at this point, but, you know, Ezekwe is a good player. No Rafi Quirk, which I'm gutted about, but I understand that. He's only played about 5 minutes since he's back from injury. So we've got, what's his name? Alex Mitchell in again.
Alex Mitchell's back. Oh, yeah.
Mitchell, Van Portfleet and Youngs. And I do like Mitchell. I think Rafi Quirk, I think I've said this on the pub before, I think Rafi Quirk, despite how good Van Portfleet's been, I think Rafi Quirk has the potential to be the best player in the world. I'm going to put that out there.
Well, like a DuPont-esque.
I think he's he reminds me a lot of DuPont. And he's obviously a bit younger. So I think he's like so strong, so fast. He reminds me a lot of DuPont. So I think he's got more potential than Alex Mitchell, but I understand why they'd pick Mitchell.
Mitchell's like more of like a successor to Ben Youngs, I would say, though. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Sort of playing that role. Being
he's a bit like a young Ben Youngs, really, isn't he? Like, he makes those nice breaks. I think overall, I think it's quite an exciting squad. Elliot Daly back in after a 7-minute hat trick at the weekend.
Mate, he's on fire. But where do you play him? Because
I think he's got to play 13 if he's going to play.
I'd play him. Has he ever played 13 for England? I know he probably has, but it just doesn't. It feels like he was at 15. He was at 15 or 14, yeah, 11.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to. He's definitely not going to play at 15, is he?
No. Well, unless.
Unless Stewie gets injured. But that would be hilarious. But actually, that's the kind of thing Eddie Jones would do. I'm not sure.
I found Leicester playing Charlie Atkinson at fullback. And Stewart on the wing a bit odd.
It was a bit strange, but I mean, worked all right. Yeah, it worked all right, didn't it?
Yeah,
that's
a good point.
And it was actually quite nice to see Stewart getting involved in attack more. He just keeps getting better and better and looks more and more complete. I think,
unfortunately, the player I'd probably compare Stewart to is probably like Israel Folau, the way he plays.
From a rugby perspective.
From a rugby perspective. Not his personal point.
Yeah, fingers crossed it's only from a rugby perspective. Yeah, I think is he the best fullback in the world for you at the minute?
I can't really say anyone else is better. I always think the French lad's a bit overrated. Is it
Jalabert?
Yeah. Like he
kicks a good goal though.
He does though. But sometimes that gets you out of jail, doesn't it, when you're not playing too well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, is it Jalabert or who? I don't know. I don't really know who plays more there. Jalabert or Ramos?
I'm thinking of Jalabert.
Yeah.
But
Ramos also kicks a good goal.
Yeah. Who does? Warren Gatlin would love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice to see Jack Willis in. No Tom Willis. But nice to see Jack Willis in. There was rumours about Tom Willis, wasn't there?
But yeah. I think he might be on the edge of things.
Yeah,
which
I agree.
Does suggest that Billy's completely out. But then he was at the training camp the other day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well,
it's all a bit odd.
But they've got, in terms of number eight, you'd imagine, looking at the score, Don Brandt is almost certainly going to start. Oh,
the number eight,
Don Brandt.
It's a
Simmons,
tough
really.
Position for me, because I don't think anyone's standing above anybody else. Maybe Don Brandt, but
I think someone
who watches Callum Chick quite often, he's a quality player.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Simmons has played well at all this year.
No.
So
I think it is.
Don't get that.
I think it's going to depend on. I think we've said this before. I think it will depend on how they want to play and who they have at 10.
Yeah.
I think if they have Smith at 10, it's Don Brandt every day of the week.
I think if we have a back row of like Earl, Willis and Simmons, it would just look a bit light.
It's a bit light. It is a bit light. But then if you've got, if you stick Courtney in the second row.
Yeah.
So to keep him on. And then if you have, you know, if you say your front row's Gens, George, Sinclair, you've got three very good carriers there. Then Laws as well. Then if you have a Manu, probably a Manu, and a Caden Murley maybe, like you've still got some like some pretty big boy ball carriers there.
He's got a lot to do, does Big Steve, doesn't he?
There's a lot to do, but it's kind of, I feel like he's just in a really good position because it's a bit of a freebie, really. Like if they go well, it's like, you know, Borthwick's a genius, and if they don't, it's, well, he hasn't had enough time, like we'll wait for the World Cup. So he's kind of got a bit of a freebie in situations.
The way you've said that, though, I don't know if the modern England rugby fan is going to be that forgiving.
I agree.
They go out and get twonked by Scotland. But they're, I think, be like, oh, no. Borthwick needs time.
But I don't think they will get like battered by Scotland.
No, well, that's because Scotland's rubbish, man.
Yeah, yeah. But I think there's going to be much more like sympathy and patience with Borthwick and Sinfield than there was with Eddie Jones, I think. Because they're just fundamentally like, you know, salt of the earth, English blokes, want the best for the team. They won't play mind games, which I quite enjoyed it all, but
I've enjoyed how like composed and well-spoken Borthwick's been so far. I want to see, like, not to be like someone who wants to see the world burn. I want to see how still composed and stuff he is after a couple of games. You know, he's been very, very well-spoken. He is well-spoken, but you know what I mean. Like,
he's all, for me, which is understandable. I think he's almost a little bit too like scripted and like,
oh yeah, that's what I mean though, like I can't wait for it. It's because I think one thing goes against him, but I think it could that sort of thing unravels usually quite quick.
Like, I don't know whether you heard, I think it was, it only came out yesterday, so you might not have done, but Chris Jones interviewed him for the BBC, and a few weeks ago there was the joke that Borthwick's son had like asked him to pick Tommy Rafael, and Chris Jones started the interview by saying, squad's out, looks great, but no Tommy Rafael. And Borthwick, like, almost didn't even acknowledge, like, that there was any humour or a joke in that. He just, like, went straight into, like, the, like...
prepared answer.
It was like, well, you know, we've got lots of players to pick from. I'm in the position where I've got to pick the players that I think are going to do the best job, blah, 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 blah. I was like,
Borthwick, you missed the point.
I was like,
there.
chill out. Like, you can have a bit of a joke. Like, it's all right. So I'd quite like to see him ease into it a little bit and maybe show a bit more of...
To be honest, though, I guess he's going outside his comfort zone.
Yeah, for sure.
He's not an outgoing person,
no,
I don't think.
No, he was in...
Not that everyone is.
He was in a suit and tie and as a head England coach. It's a pretty different situation. Sinfield, however, I think comes across very, very well, but also just as supernatural. He's obviously done loads of press in the last few years.
Yeah, probably as a player as well. He always used to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think together they're class. So last week, mate, for those that listened, we, in about 45 seconds, picked a starting 15 for England. This was obviously before...
Borthwick should just give us a call, really.
This was before the squad was announced. The only player we had in there that isn't in the squad was my shout of Jack Noel. You didn't have Jack Noel in, so you get away with it. But the rest are all in the squad. And, well, we said A. Willis. Rather than Jack or Tom, we just said Willis.
Well, we'll have Jack.
So we had Gens, George and Cole, all in. Cole was a great shout. Atoji and Laws in the second row. Back row of Earl, Willis, Donbrandt, like we just kind of mentioned. JVP at 9, Farrell at 10, Kelly and Slade in the centres, but we did mention Manu. Freeman and Hassel Collins on the wings and Stewart at fullback.
I like that though. Even though it's our team out, you know, I like that.
Are you wanting to change any of that? Do you think now you've seen the squad in its entirety, do you think any of that will change?
Should just whack Finn Smith at 10.
We mentioned Finn last week, didn't we?
We did.
We said Scotland should chuck all their money at him. He should get him a cap, shouldn't he?
He
should get him a
naughty,
cap.
Isn't it? Just put him on the bench, put him on a fullback last 10 seconds.
Yeah, he definitely should. I think he actually might as well, you know.
You know what? I reckon Scotland could have gotten me, you know, if they had like a coach who was signed up for like 5 years. But Townsend's fucking off in the summer, isn't he?
I can't imagine. And this isn't because he's... I think it's only natural. Like, I don't think it's because he, you know, has lost interest or integrity or anything like that. I think him thinking about, you know, a young 20-year-old fly half who has got some Scotland heritage, who could play for Scotland in a few years' time, it's just not on the front of his radar at the moment, is it? Especially with all the other issues they've got going on with
his son's a fly half as well, isn't he? He won't want anyone.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, very true. So, yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, I guess if you're thinking about the hero now, though, you've got Hastings out.
Yep.
And Blair Kinghorn at 10 hurts my head.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I don't hate it, but it's not right, is it?
I just like him not there.
Just somewhere else.
Duncan Weir there makes my life.
I think there's still
time. You say that both of us will get a lot of sympathy, but if we somehow lost to Scotland with Duncan Weir pulling the strings at 10, I think...
That would be a tough go.
That would be a tough sell. That would
be a tough go. Were we being silly by putting Dan Kelly in? Is it just going to be too langy? Really?
It is going to be Manu, but yeah. I would stick with Kelly because I think we need something different. Who do we have at 10, Faz?
Faz. That's the other thing. Farrell confirmed as captain for the Six Nations.
Bold.
Genge and Laws as vice captains.
People will.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, to be honest. I think changing it wouldn't have made a difference. I think it might have just taken the pressure off Farrell. That's why I would have done it.
Yeah.
Because when we lose, those post-match interviews are brutal.
Yeah.
Just have Laws do it. Laws doesn't give a fuck what anyone thinks.
No.
Like, you've seen him on Twitter. He tweets some ridiculous stuff, so he doesn't care what people think.
But neither does Farrell, really, does he?
Probably not, but I feel more sorry for Farrell.
Yeah.
Everyone dives in on him a bit more.
They do. That is very true. Yeah, that is very true. But I just find he obviously, we spoke about this last week, he gets a lot of stick from a lot of people, mainly on Twitter. But that's now Eddie Jones, one of the best coaches of all time, who has made him captain. Mark McCall, probably the best domestic coach of all time in England, made him captain.
Got to be, hasn't he? Yeah.
And now Steve Borthwick, a premiership winning coach in his first few years of coaching, who is now the head coach of England, has made him captain. So how anyone can say, how anyone can say anything, basically anything negative.
Give the captaincy to Atosha, who's never captained.
Who's never captained anyone. He's obviously a very, very, very special bloke to have in and around a squad. My only thing is,
I think his specialness comes from his sort of being a bit old fashioned, probably, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think he just goes to work. He treats it like a proper job.
Yeah. I just wonder whether you need to have him as captain to get that, which I don't think you do.
No, I don't think you do. That's what I was saying. Yeah. I don't think you need to.
Yeah.
And I don't think those other bits help him. Because I think he'll act like a captain on the field no matter what, anyway.
And I also think it complicates... We don't know what Borthwick's thinking about this, but it does complicate the 10-12 situation, or just the 10 situation. Because really, Farrell's got to play now. Whether that's at 10 or 12, he has to play. If that's... if Farrell's on at 10, as an example, and Smith's on the bench... you need to win a game. Are you taking your captain off with 15 minutes to go and chucking Smith on? Probably not. You're probably taking Manu Tuilagi or Dan Kelly off and putting Farrell at 12. But does that work? No, it hasn't worked so far.
It reminds you of like the problems like England have with the football when Harry Kane's playing shit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, they just don't take him off.
Yeah.
And that's because he's captain and he's the best player. And that's probably what we've got with Farrell a little bit. I think the one, like we said with England, you know, one of the problems is you've got players with lots of caps and lots of experience and you've got players with no caps and no experience.
Yeah,
so it's so unproportioned that it's hard to make rational decisions because you're just forever, we're forever going round in a ring.
Yeah.
There's a reason why when you look at, apart from Ben Young Society, you look at like the list of the top cap players, there's not many English players on the list. It's because we've got too much talent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, too many players, which just by proxy means too much talent, yeah. But I think, you know, we mentioned this last week as well. Farrell's form has been outrageously good. He's been the best 10 in England for, you know, probably a few months now, but that's been while Smith's been out. and then Smith comes back at the weekend and just produces a couple of moments of absolute outrageous magic, which Farrell's capable of a lot of things, but he's just not capable of that kind of thing.
I think it's interesting because it's like, are we going to win a World Cup by being in this magical free-flowing team, or are we going to win it?
Yeah, it's a good point.
I think we've got to nail our colours to a mast.
Doesn't matter which one. But
we've got to go the Smith route or the Farrell route, and I guess him being named captain, we're going to go the Farrell route.
It looks like it.
And it is probably isn't even his last hurrah, is it?
He's
going to be like that South African guy. He's just going to keep coming back.
I think touch wood, he doesn't get a bad injury or anything like that. I've got almost no doubt that he'll be at the next World Cup.
You'll have another three Premiership titles, two European probably. Cups.
And then, prediction for the World Cup after that, Andy Farrell head coach, Owen Farrell, attack coach. There you go. for England at that World Cup. I wanted to share this. So obviously, he gets a lot of jip. He's serving his ban. We spoke about the farce of him being made available for that Bristol game, even though he's captain of England the week before the Six Nations. Obviously,
isn't it the day before?
Is it the day? No, it's not.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's like... it's the week before.
No, it's the week before. Yeah. But how the England camp works, he wouldn't be there. He would be in camp with England.
I would have loved it if it was like a Friday night game and like, he was going to play that and then play it.
None of the England guys are going to play in that round of Premiership. But Owen Farrell was allowed to play so that he can serve his ban so that he can play against Scotland. Shout out to at James Weil on Twitter, who said this. I'll read it out and then we can chat about it. Worth noting that Owen Farrell has played 377 matches, all in front of a sighting officer, referee, and a TMO. In that time, he's made approximately 4,000 to 5,000 tackles, been red carded once and sighted twice. That means his tackle illegality rate is approximately 0.0002%.
Yeah, so, I did see this.
You know, yes, he's had a couple where he hasn't got called for it. You know that Esther Hazen won the one in Australia, but it's not like what's the chap's name? Is it Adam Coleman who got two red cards in two games, three red cards in a row against Saracens? I don't see him getting too much stick on Twitter, and it's because he's not Owen Farrell. But
man, if you're like Farrell and you've got like a rep, it means every time everyone's waiting for it. Like you go on Reddit, people are like waiting to post a video of him doing a high tackle.
Yeah.
You're like, if you watched every game, you could probably find an example of like nearly most players. Not every game, but like if you watched every game every season, you could probably find an example of every player in the England squad doing a similar tackle. Exactly. Because it isn't like he's going to do it. It's just like a reaction thing, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's not a non-issue because he's obviously currently banned for a high shot. But
can you remember when Razzie Erasmus was showing them how to tackle?
Yes, that was a great clip. That was tackle school, mate.
But I think that was part of why it blew up, wasn't it? Like, he didn't get banned for that one.
Yeah, I think so. But basically, I'm like, justice for Farrell. Like, everyone give him a break. He's an unbelievable player. Like, I just think he's gonna be the kind of guy that just gets so much, like...
He's never
respect and plaudits when he retires.
I hope so.
Like everyone's going to be like, "Oh my god, like absolute modern day great," blah blah blah. Which he 100% is.
But, I don't know. Like, I would say the last player I would compare, and I've this is just bold of me because I wasn't really around then. Feels like he gets the sort of treatment from the media a bit like a Will Carling did, and I don't think Will Carling's quite as respected as he probably should.
But
be.
I don't know. I don't know Will Carling's.
Wasn't a
trophy cabinet off the top of my head, but it's not Owen Farrell's. I know that much. Speaking of tackling and red cards and the England squad and possible bans, Henry Slade got a soft.
You know what? I forgot about this.
Soft red card at the weekend. Where he basically.
Was soft?
Yeah. Mate, it's the softest thing I've ever seen. He grabbed the bloke by the shoulder and then. Rode up a little bit in him in the chin.
I haven't heard that it's been struck off yet.
Well, that's what I was just about to ask you. You're the man in the know. When is he going to be cleared to play? Because
probably about Wednesday or Thursday. But the Ben Hill one was quite late in the week.
Yeah, true.
Do you reckon he's having to like form a defence for this, or is he just like
no?
It is interesting. The defence is
the video that you shared on Twitter.
That the referee changed like 4 minutes before.
Yeah. Yeah, because what's his name pulled his hammy, which
Reynal.
Hilarious. So yeah, ref comes into the game.
Some people were saying he was just too hot, so he just wanted to get off because it was like 30 degrees, I think.
I just don't understand. I don't understand how you can slow that down. Look at it on the TMO and be like, "Oh yeah, that's a red card."
I didn't get it. Like I baffled, just baffled.
I've not seen. Normally, you like click on a video on Twitter, see the replies, and someone goes, "Oh yeah, that probably is a red." Nobody in the world, other than the ref and presumably the TMO, thought that was a red card.
I think the worst thing is, I don't think anyone thought it was a yellow card.
No, it's a penalty because he rides up, doesn't he?
Yes,
but there's no
penalty only.
There's no force. He makes contact with the arm/shoulder and then rides up. That was very bizarre. But so yeah. Basically, what I was leading to is: will Slade be? Do you think Slade will be cleared and therefore available for?
He should be available for this weekend.
Well, yeah.
If Ben Earl somehow got away with his.
Yeah.
Because Ben Earl's... Ben Earl's was worse. Probably a yellow card.
Yeah. So do you think...
You don't usually get off if it was a yellow. They just still ping you.
Do you think Slady's back in at 13 for England? That's what we said last week. But then, you know, you've got Daly playing well.
I would not
be shocked
if Borthwick just picked it. I wouldn't like this, but if he went... Smith Farrell than the man who had 13, I would hate that, but I wouldn't be surprised if he picked
that. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either, which would be a shame, I think.
That would be literally no proper centres. Really. I know a man who's a centre, but I always think of him more of just a battering ram.
I think if he does that, I then think you... The issue with that, other than the issues that we've had with that 10, 12, 13, I think you then almost need to pick like Daly on the wing.
Yeah,
because I think you need another. I think you do need like another.
You trying
playmaker.
To say we need a long range kicker?
We need a long range kicker. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
we need somebody who can bang it from 60 meters. But do you know what I mean? Because if you, yes, you've got that 10-12 where there's two playmakers, but that's really like first receiver out the back. I think you need a playmaker in the wider channels. Which yeah. Stewart is showing signs of being able to do, but he's more like picking lines rather than like picking passes. Hmm. So I think if you don't have Slade or Daly in the centres. I think you need Daly because Slade can't play there. Daly on the wing, which then means that you don't have a Hassel Collins or a Caden Murley or a Tommy Freeman or a Max Malins.
I think you'd swap them for Freeman, wouldn't you? Because I would say they're the more similar sort of players.
Probably.
I think that would work all right. I think Daly's someone I'd like to see at least back on the bench. I think because, you know, three minutes to go.
It would be nice to for him to have a bit... He's having it at a club level, but for him to have just a bit of a resurgence because he is... An outrageously talented rugby player, and we've given him some stick in the past on this pod, basically saying he can just kick a long ball. But
no, he's better than that. I just think the problem he's had is just Max Malins, same problem, just became too versatile.
Mm-hmm.
I saw someone the other day saying Malins should become a 10 again. I was like,
well, we had that chat last week at Bristol. I said McGinty's not going too well, which means Sheedy's not going too well. So Malins is going back.
Put Malins at 10.
Imagine, yeah, be interesting.
I guess quite often the most talented fly offs can't get in a team and have to change position.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at the one easy example is Alex Good was a fly off and came through the team.
Well, he still is for a lot of the seasons.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Speaking of fly offs, Finn Smith, we mentioned him earlier. Just want to talk about him at the weekend. So he played 15 at the weekend. No, he didn't. No, ignore that. I'm thinking of Charlie Axenar.
Who's also a very good young player.
He is
a
good young player, but Finn Smith's in.
He played very well.
Do you think he is in because he is playing really well, which he is, or do you think he's in to stop Scotland picking him? Or a bit
I think
of
it's probably a bit of both because he probably is the third best fly off in the country at the minute.
With George Ford out, probably.
I don't think anyone else. Joe Simmons is just never going to get capped.
But he's not even that good, mate. He was good for the year that they were really
OBE,
good.
OBE, MBE, OBE?
Yeah, I know, but come on.
You don't have an OBE.
I'm not in contention for fly off England either, mate. I should be, but I'm not. No. Maybe Scotland.
Yeah, mate. Do you qualify?
I don't think so. I think the only heritage I've got is I'm a 64th Irish.
Oh, I qualify for Scotland. I can get in the team.
I am very, very English. Well, yeah.
I'll play anywhere, mate. Apart from the front row, I don't fancy that. Second row, I'm probably not tall enough, but I'll give it a go.
Mate, it's a modern game. You can do what you want. There are no positions, there are just rugby players. Sounds like an Eddie Jonesism.
A hybrid, mate.
Bloody hybrid, mate.
Jack Knowles playing in the background.
Ben Earl is a very hybrid player, isn't he?
I really enjoyed just going back to the hybrid when we only picked two scrum halves for the World Cup because John said, you know, we've got George Ford.
George Ford can play scrum half, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes
he
a lot of sense.
He did call up Ben Spencer in the end. Yeah. Well, I think his last cap's the World Cup final.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
He's good as well, man. Mate, Bart's backline, this is a tangent, but Bart's backline next year is going to be.
I think there's an article in this for us.
Like. It's going to be so tasty, Russell. Mate. Spencer Russell. What's his bloody name? Oh my God.
Lawrence?
No, yeah, Lawrence, but at 12.
How can I see you?
Scottish. Son of the other Scottish rugby player.
Oh, Cameron Redpath.
Redpath. So, Spencer Russell, Redpath and Lawrence in the centres.
Cockneysinger. Yeah.
Cockneysinger and whoever. Will Muir, maybe. I like him.
I like Will Muir.
I feel like they've got someone else. And then De Glanville at fullback.
Yeah.
That is filth, mate.
What's the name of the lad who Eddie Jones randomly called up for the World Cup last time and then he disappeared?
The Sevens lad.
Yeah, that was strange. I feel like if you're doing a list of players you forgot played for England, Rudry and then a Compagnon, yeah. Was the second there. McConaughey. I was just
McConaughey.
I was just thinking of McConaughey.
McConaughey, I think.
He's been playing rugby long before he got paid to play rugby.
But yeah.
What a bolter.
What a bolter. He was good as well. I liked him. I just want to keep talking about this England squad, but we might be done, eh? Any final thoughts on the England squad? I just want to say, we still haven't picked him in the team. I still think, I mentioned it last week, I still think Ollie Chessam is going to have like a proper breakout Six Nations. I think he's going to be very, very good.
I love Courtney Lawrence, but I don't know where he fits in my team. I always just pick him because he's like a constant 8 out of 10 player.
He's class, mate. For me, he definitely plays, but you then just have to sacrifice somebody, obviously, because the back row of that we mentioned earlier of Earl, Willis, Dom Brand is probably a bit. Is it a bit too small and lightweight? It's not really. Ben Earl is freakishly strong. Dom Brandt carries hard. Willis is outrageous over the ball.
I think it's if we were playing Simmons, that would make it a bit more lightweight.
But if you have that back row, then that means Laws obviously has to play in the second row, which he hasn't done a lot of for England recently, really. No. Or for Northampton. He's very much become a six. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But I think he'll play. I definitely think he'll play. And I think he'll probably play at six for me. I think it'll be Laws, Earl, Dom Brandt.
I think it'll be Laws, Willis, Dom Brandt.
Do you think?
I think whoever...
Fair, Ben Earl off the bench.
The other one's going to be on the bench. Willis or Earl will be on the bench, you know. Yeah. Depending on which one he goes with of our varieties.
Earl's just a freak show, mate. He's like the most athletic bloke I've ever seen in my life. It's ridiculous.
Absolute beast, mate. That's why we need him in the team.
Yeah, we do.
The problem is, like, players like this for New Zealand would have 30 caps by now.
Yeah, it's a very good point. How many caps does Ben Earl have?
Like 2. Don't have a guess. Something.
I'm going to say 4.
I'll say 7, but I bet they'd all be off the bench. 13?
Does he?
That sounds like rubbish to me. Can I see how many minutes he's played?
If you can find that out, that'd be great.
I can work that out, Matt. Man, I can do magical things with this computer. When the internet works, I can't anywhere.
Yeah, Spoons has let us down a bit today.
Yeah, Spoons is disgraceful.
Whilst you're doing that, the Wales squad is to be announced soon. I think we'll probably stop recording basically the moment it's announced.
Yeah, we're not that interested.
And I'm not interested in it. However, what I do want to mention is Tipperich. Did you see him at the weekend? The highlights of him?
He's just a baller, isn't he?
Oh, my God, mate.
If you were doing like an underrated 15 of like the last 20 years, he'd be first name on the team sheet.
He's got to be up there at the moment, and probably for the last like 5 years, say, as one of the best all round rugby players in the world.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? If you put him through every single skill set you could put a rugby player through, he would be he would be pretty high up there for like everything. He can like so. Launch miss passes. He can do crossfield kicks, grubber kicks. He is unbelievable.
It's like, I think like someone like Sam Warburton was just exceptional at what he did.
Yes.
Well, this guy can just do it all.
I think, who was talking about him? I think Ugo was talking about him.
It's like
said,
a Peter Armani who can kick.
Yeah. That's what Monty said, like, you don't necessarily, when he doesn't play, you don't necessarily miss it because you never think, oh no, we need a seven who can stand at first receiver and put in a crossfield kick. You never think that that's what you need. But then when he does play, like, oh my God, he is absolutely unbelievable. I think he's got a chance of being captain of the Welsh side when Gatland announces it, I think.
Yeah, was he briefly captain before?
He was captain in the autumn, I think. I might be wrong. But
I think he might be.
So I think he'll be captain again because he's just different gravy.
Warburton's coming out of retirement. Get the band back
together. How old is Warburton? I bet he's only like 33.
You know, he's not old. He's like 32 or 33 because he retired 29.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
He retired at 29, yes, had, I'd say, an entire career's worth of playing. Do you know what I mean? Weirdly, because he...
Yeah, yeah.
He had two huge lines.
He was captain at 22 or something stupid,
got sent off at a World Cup.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And looking at how Wales and that's gone on since, he would have just been putting his body through shit for now.
Yeah.
Since, you know, if you're still playing now, they've gone nowhere.
Well, I also think that the Lions tour was arguably, that was some of the best. I don't think he really did anything. I think the ref just bottled it. But in New Zealand, you could argue that's some of the best bit of captaincy of all time to make sure that was a scrum and not a penalty.
Yeah.
How that was ever the case, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
Bow down to the Warbs.
I also won like 240 quid on that, which was great.
What, did you back the draw series?
Well, no, my brother, shout out Joel, my brother backed the draw, but at the time he was playing professional rugby, so he wasn't allowed to bet on it, and I was with him. So he was like, oh, can you stick a fiver on the draw for this? And it was 48 to 1. And I was like, oh, I'll put a fiver on for myself as well. So we won 240 quid each. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah.
The dream.
He just had a feeling, he said, and he was absolutely bang on.
Mate, that's what, when you play professional rugby, that's what you get, that inside knowledge.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
Sam Warburton and shithouse.
Exactly. What else?
Do you think that game should have went to extra time or something?
Well, interesting you should say that. I actually wrote a, I don't know what it was, I guess like a blog post after that game about what is important in the Lions tour. Is it
was kind of nice, I thought, is the ending.
Well, that was kind of my verdict as well. I think I said
I thought it was very nice. Both teams together.
I think my summation was like, actually, winning isn't everything, and like this actually represents the rugby values that we bang on about so much actually really quite well.
Yeah, I really
agree. Because there was a lot of like, and really, like, you know, New Zealand had every right to be absolutely furious, and they kind of weren't. They were like, you know, it's a good series, fair play, shake hands, move on.
It's the best series I've watched in a while.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I didn't really enjoy the South Africa one, but I think that was just due to circumstances.
Yeah. Well, I also, that's the other thing about Eddie Jones, mate. I also wasn't really, I mean, it's a long way away, but I wasn't really that excited about the Australia one because it's always, you know, not quite as good as the others. But now I'm all about it, mate. Now Eddie's in charge. I'm absolutely all about it. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Anything else on any Six Nations stuff, mate? I know we've done about 40 minutes on England there. Do we want to mention anyone else? It's hard because squads aren't announced for Wales or Scotland or Ireland or anyone, I don't think. So
no. I think Ireland have a couple of injury issues, but I think they'll come through. I think they've got a tight squad.
Oh, just pick Leinster, mate. Just pick Leinster.
They've got their clubs into the best place, and you know, when you think about it, probably the clubs in France and Ireland are probably the most well-equipped to play in Europe, and they've got the best international teams. There's probably no, it's not a surprise. You know, I think that says a lot. England at the minute, with the financial stuff, the team, if we've got a bigger lead, but the quality isn't up there, you know, it's not going to help getting ready.
Exactly.
Even Connacht, did they not put like 60 points past someone?
Yeah, I think they.
And I always think of them as being Ireland's whipping boys, and even they're quite good.
Yeah.
Pat Lamb's boys.
Where are they? Yeah, 61-5 against Breve. Yeah, they went pretty well. Did you see any? Did you, let's do a little bit on Europe. Actually, there's so many games, mate. There's so many games. It's almost impossible to keep up with. Did you watch anything / much of it?
So, Leicester on Friday night. That was a great game.
Hell of a game. 44-29 to Tigers away at Clermont. And then what's his name?
Clermont.
John O'Gibbs has gone, hasn't he?
He's been given the boot, mate.
He's been sacked since.
See you later, pal. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Which, I don't think it's just a reaction to this game. I don't think they've been going hugely well all year. But yeah, Leicester have... So Wiggy has come in as head coach and got someone else as head coach sacked. But that is a hell of a result.
Classic Wiggy.
Bearing in mind the last couple of results they've had against Falcons and Sale. I said last week, away to Claremont's a bit of a freebie because you're not really expecting much. But to go and put 44 points on them, it's pretty decent.
Can't complain.
Pollard looked decent as well, didn't he? I thought he was very, very good.
He might finally start earning a little bit of his cash.
Yeah, about time as well. Like I said earlier, Atkinson at 15, which forced Stewart on the wing, which is actually really nice. He picked some great attacking lines, set up Scott's first try, second try? Second try, I think. Really nicely, that was delightful. Simmons with that outrageous double step. In and out was silly.
He's an interesting absolutely player, silly. Isn't he, Simmons?
Well, he's a nine, right? Technically.
Yeah, he was a nine, but yeah. I guess they looked at when they had... Didn't Van Poortvliet not even get on the bench for the Prem final? So you probably just thought, man, maybe fuck this.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point they had Ben White as well.
Well, I think he went on loan to Jersey for a while, didn't he, Simmons?
Yeah.
I think. But my God, if he's going to finish like that, get him on the wing. He's also quite big. Like, he looks quite big and strong for a nine for me. So yeah. I think keep him on the wing. Chesson was very good. Rafael was absolutely class. There's a shoe-in for Wales.
We should have tried
Wales.
To nick him, England.
Yeah. But he's an absolute shoe-in for Wales. Although...
They've got a lot of back
mentioning, wheels. Yeah. So we mentioned earlier Tipperich. Tipperich Rafael at 6 and 7 sounds amazing, but pretty small and lightweight.
You just put Falatau at 8 and there you go.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, who else is going to play 8, really? Navidi, maybe. He's quite big
now. Moriarty. You know what? I thought he was going to be like a superstar. And
yeah,
he's
I
turned
like
into
him.
Just being a bit of a knob.
Well, that, I love that clip of him just laughing.
But I love it about him. But that's more his role.
Yeah, it was great. Tell you who's been an excellent signing for Leicester, just quietly. Jimmy Gopeth.
Well, he'd be excellent for him. I reckon he could be like, you know, the Tom Brady of rugby.
Is he, check this for me on that magic laptop of yours, is he older than his head coach?
I think he would be.
Is he older than Wiggy?
I wonder how many times that's happened. Like,
that's what I mean. It can't be very often in like top flight, can it?
Jimmy Gopeth is 40? 39.
49?
No, 39. Yeah, I reckon he could play until he's that old.
Wiggy's like 38, isn't it? Or is he 40 now?
They're both 39. So 39. Now I need to check
We've got to check the dates.
Wiggy's birthday is June 9th.
It's a nothing 9th. Story otherwise.
And Jimmy Gopeth is the 29th of June. He's 20 days old.
Wiggy's 20 days older. Oh, okay.
Darn it.
Shame. God damn it. There's nothing in that now. What a waste of time.
Yeah, you've wasted a lot of time there, man.
But anyway, Leicester are really good. Not bothered about Challenge Cup. Can't be bothered with any of that. Sorry, lads. Saturday, there was like a million games. Pick of the bunch, Leinster were outrageously good against Gloucester, but that's to be expected. Did you watch any of Sarri's Lyon?
Didn't see too much of it. I saw Quins and Racing, but...
So Lyon came back into it. But Sarri's are just filth, mate.
I did. I saw the first half. Big Daly, 7 minutes.
Yeah. They make
there wasn't
the
much point watching
easy.
After about... 20 minutes?
No, not really. And like I said, Lyon did come back in slightly, but yeah, they were very good. I'll tell you who I kind of was semi-hoping to see in the England squad.
Go for it.
Lazowski. I kind
just
of wanted
think,
to see
every
him
time
back
I hear
in.
His name, I just think I wanted to see
Mike Lazowski. But he wasn't in, which I don't know. Is he going to be one of those? I think he might just be one of those players.
Just go play for it, Lee Mert.
Is he Italian? Is he Italian?
His dad was playing for an Italian team when he was born, I think.
And it must be 3 years since he's been capped, surely.
Oh, yeah.
So he probably could.
The autumn 4 years ago now.
He's bloody good, mate.
He's hanging on. Bless him.
What I did quite like about Sarri's was 14 of their starting 15 were capped internationals, which is pretty good going.
When you play in a team that plays that well, you know, you're more likely to... Who was the one who wasn't? Is it Jackson Ray?
No, he wasn't.
It's usually Jackson Ray. I feel bad for Jackson Ray, because I think he's quality.
It was a guy who I think probably will be capped at some stage. It was Hugh Tizard.
Oh, well, definitely, yeah. I think if Itoje wasn't so good, I'd say Chesham and Tizard is like the future.
Do we need Damaro to step up a little bit in the Six Nations?
Yeah, I think we do. I don't think he's been quite...
He's been solid. But he's better than solid player. Not good enough
to be in the team with no sort of challenge.
No jeopardy, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Any other games that are worth mentioning? Chiefs did all right against Bulls, but it wasn't quite to be. That Slade red card kind of fucked them, which was bullshit. Probably the best game of the weekend, realistically, was Racing Quins, which was not a huge shock. But Racing 30, Quins 29.
Some stadium, that Racing Stadium. That's a lot.
I really want to go.
We'll take the pod on tour to Racing.
Definitely. Well, presumably they're hosting a bunch of World Cup games, I assume.
I don't know, because I would hope so, but it's not.
You've got to
It's more
so.
Style over substance, isn't it? Like, I mean, it's not huge stadium.
No, true. No, but it looks.
I do have a list of. But also, when did they finish it? Because the World Cup stadiums were confirmed a while ago.
That's actually a good shout. But yeah, Racing 30, Quins 29, and this was just basically a game of Jouer. Racing took a pretty decent lead, but then obviously you can never write Quins off. They came right back into it. Basically, what it looked like, basically won the game. They went 29-27 up with about, I don't know what it was, maybe 2 minutes to go, and then gave a penalty away, and that was absolutely slotted, I think, by Le Garrick at that point.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, who's also so decent, mate. He's so good.
Mate, you know what? It doesn't look like the Racing 92 Stadium is one of the World
really?
Cup ones.
That's a real shame. What they should do then is just turn that into like a fan zone. Yeah,
that would
be
cool.
That'd be unbelievable. Big screen, get the bar out. That'd be cool. I think I've mentioned him before, mate. I just want to give him another shout out. When Nick David was at Worcester, I went there to do some filming for like another thing and chatted away to him. And it was when he was confirmed to move to Quins, and I was like asking how he's feeling about it. And he was like, yeah, you know, feeling good. Like they haven't really gotten out and out of 15, like hoping to get some minutes and whatever. And to be totally honest, in my head, I thought, okay, fair enough. Like, sounds good. I'm not sure how much he will play. But basically, that was mostly based because on Tyrone Green, who's obviously been out for a long time. Nick David's fucking good.
Yeah, I think we've all known he's good. It's just it's taken him
a little bit
of time to settle.
He's
looking
well. He's real settled, mate. He's rapid.
But he's glad he left Worcester.
His high ball is excellent. His one-on-one stuff is outrageous. He can absolutely rinse people. I think he's really, really good, mate. Like, proper underrated. Proper underrated, I think.
I think if we were going to do, like, a most underrated player for every Prem team, he'd probably be Quins.
Yeah.
Just trying to think of another one.
Well, Josh Bassett is, like, the eternal underrated player, isn't he? Who's now a Quins boy.
True.
But I actually don't, just quietly, I actually don't rate him that much. But
no, I know what you mean. He's just Tom Collins of... Well, who I like as well, good players.
But without the gas.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at least Racing Quins lived up to the hype. Like, we were hoping it was going to be Jouer, and it absolutely was. So,
I think the only good thing for England is, even though Quins lost, most people think Smith came out on top of Russell.
Yeah, 100% did. Finn did some very nice things. He's class, but... Yellow card towards the end, which could nearly cost them.
I can't wait for him to help guide Bath to like a sixth place finish next year.
Mate, that'd be Bath. I reckon Bath would take Bath that would if, take it. If you offered them that. But yeah, there's just some highlights from Europe. There's just too many games. There's too many games. It's just baffling. Absolutely baffling. Shout out to the lads. Tough day for them. 42-10, Cardiff against Newcastle. That was a bit of a tough day.
Tough place to go. To be honest, though, I think the problem is the Falcons' form's turned around, but they'd already sort of fucked Europe, so I think they've just decided
well,
not
if you, you know, if you look at the team...
You know, it was an all right team, but I think
it was all right, but there's
it's a bit like the League Cup in football, isn't it? It's only a tournament worth being in if you win it.
And there was, no Conan, no Carreras, no Moroni.
I feel like the set of a team not to get spanked.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah. So keep it under 50, lads, would have been the message, I think. Keep it under 50.
Yeah.
And they did. So well done.
The Welsh needed something to cheer them up.
They did, to be fair. But actually, no, you say that. Ospreys are from Wales, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're going unbelievably, mate. They beat Montpellier 35-29. Actually playing proper decent stuff as well.
Was Alan Wynn playing?
He was, for 63 minutes. Tipperich was playing.
George North there? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he was on the bench. Yeah, I think he was on the bench.
I lose track of where everyone is.
Yeah, I struggle with the Welsh stuff. But they actually look very good.
I think Liam Williams scored against Newcastle. I was like, I forgot you weren't at Scarlets anymore.
And I think they've won two in a row now, so I think they're well on the way to qualifying, if not maybe qualified already, which is good. It's nice to see some decent Welsh rugby at some point. Hopefully we don't see too much of it in the Six Nations. But yeah, that was Europe. I feel like we've been a little bit all over the place, mate, but I don't know what else we want to chat about.
It's been a little bit over the place, yet still hit everything we were looking to hit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is there anything else you want to...
Any other business.
...want to touch on? AOB?
I guess there's the parliamentary report that says the Premiership clubs are fucked.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that then, mate.
Well, averagely across the board, they're losing £4 million a year. And there's been a recommendation that big changes need to be made.
Okay. Is there any suggestion on what that might be? Is it this 10-league team that we're talking about? Or
I think the Parliament just said, stop losing money, start making money.
Yeah.
I guess that could be what we chat about. What is the answer? Smaller squads, more games, less games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they just need to be a bit more forward-thinking, I guess.
Names on the back of the shirts, mate. That's going to solve all the problems.
Yeah,
solve all the problems. And music played when there's a penalty. That's the key for me. That's all people want to see.
I noticed the Falcons have started doing just funny t-shirts with players on. I was like, you know, that's a great, but should have been doing this 2 years
ago. I know what we should talk about on this topic, mate. The Netflix...
The
Netflix show that's been announced. So we've got a sort of Drive to Survive-esque show of this upcoming Six Nations, which I think is great, awesome. What it's done for Formula One and it's opened it to markets, probably had never heard of Formula One before.
I would only caveat in saying this is you can't guarantee you're going to have the same success, can you?
No, absolutely not.
That seems to be we need this, it'll do really well. And it's
But I think everything's set up.
If you're not
quite
first,
nicely.
You're last sometimes.
Everything's set up quite nicely because obviously Jones is out, Borthwick's in, Gatland's back in for Wales.
Yeah.
Italy are up and coming. France are the best they've been for however long. So I think it's all set up nicely.
I think the only issue is how long it takes them to get it out.
I was just going to say that. I was like, oh, amazing.
2024.
2023 Six Nations. Released in March of 2024. It's and obviously Drive to Survive is the same in that it comes out. Obviously it has to come out after the Formula One season's finished. But
you'd think if someone's getting paid full-time to edit something, they could do it in 2 months.
Lads. Give it me. I'll bang it out. I'll hop on Premiere Pro. I'll do a job for you.
I'd back you to do a good job as well.
Thanks,
I think
mate.
You'd smash it.
I appreciate it.
I've seen your skills. They're impressive.
But that just... I was really excited by it. And then I was like... Ugh. And it still might be really good. I hope it is. And I think the best thing it's going to do, which I think Drive to Survive's done really well, is just let us get to know the players a bit more.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the key, really, for rugby.
Well, it is. It's what we've said all along, isn't it? You need more personalities to stand up. Man, any sport's got its merits to watch. The sport you play, which I really enjoy watching at times, is hockey. But it's not a big mainstream sport because there's no famous people playing.
No.
If there was someone really, a really famous hockey player, you'd see the game explode.
Yeah.
It's like Jonah Lomu exploded the game originally, didn't he? Without Jonah Lomu, would the game have even gone professional? Is the question.
Yeah, potentially not. But I think the issue rugby has is it almost holds itself back because it's all about, you know, like not being bigger than humble. The team and being humble and all of that stuff, which I get, and it is part of what makes the team, the sport great. But I think you can be a personality and grow the game without being viewed as arrogant or a dick or not humble or above the team or whatever. Like, yeah. I think you can do both of those things. They just need to be given
it's
the opportunity.
It's kind of like rugby went through a golden period where people just loved the characters even though they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I love Johnny Wilkinson, probably my favourite player of all time, but didn't exactly need to go out and be a character. It's like the media just built him up for nothing. Yeah. It was like a freebie.
Yeah.
Well, now it's like, well, Noah, what are you going to do for us? And I think Martin Johnson as well. I love Martin Johnson, but like you saw when he was head coach, he doesn't exactly have much about him.
But I think it's also just like partly the way the world's gone because of like, you know, like podcasts and social media. We are used to having much more access to celebrities and famous people and people we like. And in rugby, other than the odd interview on the BBC Rugby Union Weekly, or maybe on not another rugby podcast if we're lucky, you don't really get that much access to them. And when you do, a lot of them, like we've spoken to Jack Knoll and George Cruz on this podcast. And Cruz was obviously in Japan at the time, knew he was retiring. And he was very relaxed and very open. Jack Knoll, who's a very relaxed and open person, was still in the England setup and was a little bit, you know, a little bit pressy. Like, you know, oh yeah, we're working hard. We're trying to get better week on week. And and it's like, yeah, lads, we get that. But we're falling into the trap of like the football world of, you know, three points, job done, la la la.
It's so popular.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I just want to see like more. Just a bit more personality, like just be yourself. Like, don't worry.
It's like
so
20 years ago,
it.
Rugby was probably like the second sport in England, and now it's really up against a lot of competition.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, which you is know, a shame.
Golf's probably increasing again. Yeah. Tennis is always increasing.
Cricket's massive. E-sports. Like we're having loads of success with cricket, so that's that's big.
And it seemed like it just sort of sat still, didn't it, for about 10 years? I'd say like between 2008 and 2018. Nothing changed at all.
And part of that's success, isn't it? Like, in France, rugby's in such a good place at the moment because they're now successful again.
I guess so, yeah.
So, you know, say we win a Grand Slam and then we win the World Cup, I'm sure everything will be rosy, but we need to not rely on, like, massive, massive success, I think. Yeah. I think we need to do more than just, like, hope that we win the World Cup and that'll give us a bit of a tailwind.
Sit with our fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think, in general, the Netflix show is a really, really good move. I just hope they get it. I hope they get it right, and I hope there's some drama, which there always will be.
The other thing is like the Drive to Survive is the first, and now there's like loads of them coming out.
Yeah,
it's like,
there's
so
the tennis one.
Will the market be diluted by the time it comes out?
Potentially,
there's a golf one coming out before the rugby one as well.
And you know they've smashed it because they chose to do it. They started filming, and then all the live stuff happened. So they couldn't have picked a better year. Literally, they couldn't have picked a better year in golf history.
It won't be the same with rugby. It's just like, annoying how long it's going to take to get out.
Yeah. But I'm still keen to see it. I love that. I love that style of show. I'm very excited that there's now a rugby one. So hopefully it just, hopefully it will deliver.
Did you watch the All Blacks one when they did that on Amazon?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. So yeah, I think it'd be good fun.
Dream.
Right, mate. That'll do us, I reckon.
All done.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
All right, then. Well,
I'm not really sure what we talked about. It just sort of happened today, I think.
Yeah, it just kind of fell out of our mouths. Oh, no. for the listener, we're in a spoons and we just had breakfast wraps go everywhere. If that's not a symbol that we should wrap things up, mate. Pardon the pun, wrap things up. Right, there we go. That does it.
I'm gone.
That's awful. That does it for episode 31 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. You can find us on Twitter at ruckrugby, Instagram at ruck.co.uk, and you can just search ruckrugby to find us on TikTok and Facebook. You can visit our website, ruck.co.uk, for all of the latest rugby news and features. And links to all of those channels and our website can be found in the episode description down below. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to, rate and share the podcast. Enjoy another weekend of European rugby and we will see you next week.